Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome into the first inaugural episode of the Snakes Fever podcast, brought to you by Zip Sports Grill, Jegs Barbecue, Dirt Glassware, and the Peoria Sportsplex, a roller hockey rink. Today we're here with Tommy and Yusa talking about all things Diamondbacks as we head into the season of what some would say, this is the one. This is where everything's going to line up, come together.
World Series champs 2025.
That's right. So to kick things off, we're going to go ahead and just dive, kind of pull the curtains back a little bit, take a peek into last season. Let's just talk about how things went and, more importantly, how things crumbled and did not work out in our favor, although we won five more games than we did in the 23 season. Making a World Series run.
89 and 73, didn't make the playoffs. It was a heartbreaker. There's no way around it. We started off slow. Classic, make it to the World Series hangover. I mean, I would say we almost gave up on the team by May. Similar to 2023, though. Get towards the All-Star break. The boys just go on a heater. You know, the NL West is a tough division. The NL is tough. Just couldn't get it done. Scored the most runs in the league. Gave up, I think, top five most runs in the league. That's just not going to get it done. But I'll tell you what. Greener grass on the horizons with this pitching staff. The boys made some moves this offseason. I love where we're at.
Yeah, I love where the Snakes are at going in this season. And honestly, last season could not have missed the playoffs by a more devastating outcome.
Oh, absolutely.
In on the tiebreaker. Need a sweep between two teams who only needed one win each between the Mets and the Braves. And really, there's no way that either team was going to sweep that. So the D-backs knew they were out, but just a little bit of false hope for an extra couple of days.
You know, I would have loved to see a little class out of the Braves and Mets in that last series. You get once that first game ended and the doubleheader, they just packed it in.
Conspiracy theory? I don't know. We'll get into that at some other point. But hey, the two other teams hugging each other on the field.
Everyone saw what happened in 2023.
As a D-backs fan, disgusting. But hey, we're here watching Zach Gallen throw a couple warm-up pitches at Chase Field. See the game ended and just walk sadly to the dugout. Devastation. Hate to see it. But hey, that just goes to show every single game does matter. In a 162 baseball game season, they missed it out by not even one game. Less than a game and a tiebreaker. Devastation.
And, you know, I hate to beat a dead horse, but you look at all those blown saves last season.
Straight segue into Seawall.
You get us one or two, Paul. One or two, Paul. You do your job one or two times. The Snakes are dancing in the playoffs. It's unbelievable.
Certainly among a few things we'll go over as far as last season.
I'm ready to get into Paulie Seawald right now.
Number one offense in the whole league. So the answer clearly was the offense was fine. What else went wrong? Had to be pitching, and you're saying Seawald was the problem.
Listen. The pitching staff had injuries all season, so you can't blame one guy. But when the one guy that you're at least thinking about blaming is only supposed to be in there for one inning, when you're up, you gotta get a few. I mean, like, listen, anytime you see a baseball team swap out their closer midseason to just try new options, you're in a bad spot. You can't be scoring 7, 8, 9 runs a game, and you're blowing 3, 4 run leads. You can't happen. This is the major leagues. This is the major. And Seawald is a veteran. It's not like he's a young guy pumping 102 in there. He's supposed to be a crafty veteran making a lot of dough, and he's in there just blowing it for us. I'll tell you what, that locker room's got to hate him because they know. They know. They're out there going 2 for 4, 3 for 4 every game, putting up 8, 9 runs a game, and it's not enough. I don't know. But, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you can't hate the guy. He was absolutely lights out in 2023. Shut the door so many times, but you got to hope that was a fluke.
Well, I'm pretty sure there was a 7 to 10 game stretch where he
blew, like, 3 or 4 in a row.
That
is an outrageous statistic.
That's a gut-wrencher. I mean, how do you come back from that as a locker room? And also, side note, visited the Diamondbacks locker room clubhouse a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
it can be improved. The vibes can be set there. It can be reset. Really? A new foundation can be set.
What is it with Arizona teams?
It's
just
terrible.
Not investing in the facilities for the players.
I want to see at least one ping pong table in there.
Hey, I'll tell you what, though. They live in a spot where they can play golf year-round. But there's a lot of positives out of last season. A lot of positives. We got a young team, a young core. They went to the World Series a year before. You might think, all right, young guys are going to fall off this season. No, they showed up for pretty much the whole season. The bats were alive, played great D. And most importantly for these young guys, that's another year of experience. And the best part is you went from top of the mountain 2023, making it all the way to the World Series. Obviously, you had the heartbreak. So now it's like, all right, immediately the next year, got the adversity, didn't make the playoffs, just missed it. How are you going to respond in 2025? And I'll tell you what, I think there's a great leadership group in that room. Torrey's going to get the boys dialed. Last year is last year. I couldn't be more excited.
It makes for a hungry team, right? When you make the World Series in 2023, you sniff the playoffs, but you win five games more than you won the previous season, and you can't even get a playoff game played. That's frustrating, and that's going to make the boys a little bit hungry. We'd be remiss to say that all the pitching issues just fall squarely on Paul Sewald and the bullpen. And more so, the starting rotation was atrocious last season as well. As you mentioned earlier, there were some injury issues, and it's hard to overcome those. Significant injuries to
Erod.
Erod
missed the first, what, 4 months?
Merrill Kelly,
we were actually
Zach Gallen,
at the game when he got injured.
Jordan Montgomery, all injured. And after Jordan Montgomery getting the complete bag in the offseason and having the season he did, it's tough. That's not what you expect out of the rotation. And you got to think, if they finish 27th in the league and as far as starting rotation ERA, you got to hope the season's got to be better.
It's literally, on a team this good, you can't get worse. On a team this good, you can't get worse. We're damn near at rock bottom. Like, you look at the teams that are below us on the pitching side, it's teams that are, like, literally worse than the
Chicago White Sox. Yeah. Among others.
Like, what are we even talking about here?
4.62 ERA. 20. Yeah, Diamondbacks last season. Let's just go over just offensive, just simple offensive and defensive stats. Batting stats. Runs. Led the league. 886. Batting average. 236. Second in the league. On base percentage, you ask? 337. First in the league. And also leading the league in slugging percentage. 440. Amazing, right? But let's talk about the pitching stats now. All right, ERA.
Oh, God.
4.62. Not the worst. Close to it, though. 27th in the league. WHIP, 1.35.
That's earned runs. They're giving up 4 to 5 earned runs a game.
That's tough.
The boys make an error. We're giving up an automatic 6 runs a game. How are you going to win baseball games with that type of numbers?
You know, you're going to make some changes. You're going to make some moves in the offseason. So,
oh, my God. Corbin Burns. Dog. Absolute dog. Comes in hot. Tells Torrey V, I'm going to win you a lot of ball games. All he's talking about is how much he loves Arizona. He came here. Obviously, we recruited him, but he came here. He said, I like what they got going in the Valley. I want to be a part of Snake's Fever. Give me the ball, Torrey. What does he do his first spring training appearance, spring opening day? 1, 2, 3, sit down. How are you? He's the guy that D-backs needed. Like, Gallen, you can make the argument that's an ace. The 2023 season, he was right up there for Cy Young. But I don't see him as a number one ace. He's not a Clayton Kershaw. He's not a, you know, Justin Verlander type. You get him as your second starter. Oh man, that's a storm. Because I mean, you got to think, automatic win with Corbin Burns, great shot with Gallen, and then you got a triple headed horse in your 3 through 5 spot for starting rotation. Like, it's perfectly built.
Well, as you mentioned, Zach Gallen, textbook Diamondbacks ace. Not really the top ace in the league, but, like, good enough to be an ace for the Diamondbacks. Really great to see Ken Kendrick, Mike Hazen, and the boys go out and actually get a true Cy Young winning ace, Corbin Burns, which, sure, maybe they give Gallen the opening day start, or maybe they don't, and that's okay if they do, kind of show some loyalty to their guy. But either way, between the two of them, you got Corbin and Gallen, Corbin Burns and Zach Gallen going 1 and 2 in the rotation.
One of three, Corbin.
That's lights out, and then you have a couple others who can really fill that out. You got Merrill Kelly, obviously looking great as a three starter.
I mean, he might be the dark horse TSN turning point of the season.
Do you think he might be one of the top number three starters in the whole league?
Absolutely. I think there's many, many, many non-playoff contending teams where he's one or two in your starting rotation, like two at worst, maybe. Like, he's a dog. And I would argue, like, he saved us a lot last season. The problem was we got to a point where we had two real starters healthy. And then after that, we were just battling against teams trying to outscore.
You got to love Merrill Kelly as just the true Arizona man as well, too. Oh, grew up in Scottsdale, AZ, goes to Desert Mountain High School in Scottsdale, tears it up there, plays his college career at ASU, and then ends up back in the MLB playing for the D-backs.
That guy's not fucking leaving.
Not every Arizona baseball player's dream to play for all three of those teams.
You got to imagine, too, down the road, a lot of team-friendly deals from Merrill Kelly, trying to stay local, trying to stay at home.
I think, yeah, obviously, we'll get more into this, too, as far as off-season talk, whose contracts are up, but Merrill Kelly, his contract is up at the end of the season. You got to think he's inclined to stick around based on all those same reasons we said.
Unless the Snakes go out there and win it this year and he's just like, all right, I got my World Series hometown team. I'm going to go wherever and just get the bat. I'll tell you what. They win the World Series and he wants to go somewhere and get actually paid. I wish him my best. You did your job. You're the local kid. Go get paid. I'm sure he'll finish his career if he's still pumping it on the mound. That's the thing about pitchers, too. Actually, starters are a little different, but they're almost similar to running backs in that, like, you don't know how long of a lifespan.
Nothing is guaranteed.
Like, if you're not an ace on a team, you could be bopping around. You're trying to get paid, keep your spot in the league.
Merrill Kelly, the local man, though, has trouble with cramping. Makes me a little bit concerned sometimes. I'm not sure how you feel, but a couple games last season got pulled for cramping. You got to think, as an Arizonan, he should know to drink his water, get a little electrolytes, a little liquid IV, a little BioSteel, dial yourself in, maybe have a couple bananas. You're dialed in for the day.
That's really the thing. With all these hydration drinks these days, there's no, like, you go to the gas station, you got 10 options. But speaking of the Louvre, let's talk about Torrey Lovello.
Oh!
Absolute dog. If there's one man in the world that I want captaining my ship, that I want leading my dugout, leading my clubhouse, is Terry Lavelle. You hear him talk in the post game, and it's just like, I'm bought in. Like, this guy could be telling me anything. I'll tell you what, I kind of get how Colts start, because I'm all on board the Torrey Colt. This guy's got away with words, and you saw it. You see it. You saw it in the 2023 playoffs. We were saying, we're like, what do you think he's saying in there? Because these guys are coming out. Guns a-blazing. They lose a game, they're coming out ripping a home run in the first inning of the next game. Last season on the line, end of the season. These boys are coming out every single game, ready to rock, playing like it's playoff baseball.
Torrey is a absolute player's manager. Jesse was asking me before the podcast today, what do we think about Torrey? Are we Team Torrey? Absolutely, Team Torrey. Oh, that guy,
I believe
all the
Torrey.
Players love Torrey.
I believe
How do you not love wanting to play for that guy? And hey, he's got his flaws. There's things that he could do better, but I'm not an MLB manager, so I'm not going to tell
him
what to do.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like 162 games a year. It's so easy to look at like a lineup decision, pinching decision, when to pull a pitcher. And it's like, oh, what is he doing? It's like you almost get mesmerized when you're in something for 162 games because you almost like psych yourself out like, all right, am I just going to keep going with the same routine? Do I want to try something different? And baseball is a weird game, man. Sometimes it's just not your day. And when you're the manager of that, you're just trying to find a little spark. I think there's sometimes he gets a bad rap, but at the end of the day, teams are going to complain about the skipper no matter what. Doesn't matter how good your team is. You could go 162. You're going to complain about the skipper just the way it is.
Those post-game speeches after and during that 2023 World Series run, I'll run through a fucking brick wall for Torrey.
Oh, my God. I would take a bullet for him. I'd run through a wall. I'd rob a Brinks truck for that guy. I'm putting it on the line for Torrey. He is the man. He's one of those guys where I'm like, yeah, I know you're the manager, but like, let me hit that John Hancock.
And like I said before, I mean, Torrey at times, maybe he gets criticized by local media and other sports pundits for being a little too loyal to his guys, maybe riding out some guys.
Like,
but hey,
listen,
last season people are calling for E. Eugenio's head. He stuck with this guy.
Whoa, he keeps playing Eugenio.
And he has one of the best second halves.
Let's not glaze over that. At least he's so good defensively. And then what happens?
The mid
happens?
Is soft. The mid's always been soft.
Right around mid-June, hottest hitter on the team.
You guys,
the
Babe Ruth,
the
second 3 months, the last 3 months of the
season. And I'll tell you what, this spring, he looks like he's in form.
Eugenio has been mashing.
He is mashing. He's one of those guys where even when he's not getting hits, he's smoking the ball the right center. He's thinking right center the whole time. That's all you're looking for. I love his approach. And we talked about it today at the spring training game. Is he hot too early? Or is he truly one of those guys where once he catches his stride, he's going to go?
And we'll talk more about Eugenio and maybe where he goes in the batting lineup either. But producer Jesse just pulls up here.
The Torrey Lavero plus 1,100
NL Manager of the Year award. That's not even the league. That's the National League.
I'll tell you what,
that's almost disrespectful.
He's got what? 2, 4, 6.
Can I take out my 401k and put it on Torrey Lavero?
He's got skippers ahead of him. The Jeremy Hill, the little 401k
line. For the ninth best odds as NL Manager of the Year?
Okay, so what do we got now? We got the Torrey Lavero National League Manager of the Year future. We got the over snakes wins.
84.5
Dude. I think the value on them winning the World Series is unbelievable. I love the way it's shaping up right now because, like we said, 2023 run was immaculate. You can't really say it was a fluke because at least the bats looked the same, if not better, last season.
100%.
And now with all the offseason moves, the crazy offseason moves that the Dodgers make, the entire league's talking about the Dodgers, the D-backs have just been quietly in the shadows, signing veteran guys. They already have their core. That's not what they need. We've got prospects coming up. You know, Jordan Lawler, obviously, number one prospect for the Snakes.
For the past 5 years.
He's still young, though. He's what, like a 22, 23-year-old kid? Yeah. And you look at the lineup they have now, like he's a shortstop. You got Jerry P, who's 24, 25 years old ahead of him. He just signed the 4-year ticket.
Yep.
At third base, you got Gino. That's what Tommy and I were talking about at the game. I feel like Gino's a guy where they should sign him to like a 4-year deal.
Yeah.
But I think that's the spot that they're looking for Lawler to take. You got Blaze Alexander that normally plays the corner, but I don't think that's a guy that's really ready to take the step. And I'm really concerned. I'm really concerned they're going to push Gino out too early to try to get these young guys up, and they're just not going to pan out. I mean, you're talking Gino, one of the best defensive third basemen in the league. And when he's swinging it, I put him up there with any third baseman.
He swings. That's just on the field. We're not even talking about prospects. I mean, not prospects. Literally prospects slash people that are coming back from injuries. Still young talent. Dre Jameson.
Yeah.
Which I know,
dude,
really.
I mean, he might be the most exciting part of the Diamondbacks right now. What was his stat line on, like, his first appearance in the spring? I don't know his full stat line. Touched 100, though?
I know, right? The guy touched 100 on the gun at his last
appearance.
That's
what we said last year, too. We're missing a guy that throws gas.
I mentioned to Jesse earlier, and we'll get into this more when we talk about the upcoming season, but I think Dre Jameson truly could be a dark horse coming out of the pen for the D-backs. That guy's...
Dude, if he's pumping 100, if he's in the triple digits, let's see him in the closer. We say it all the time. Seawald's a guy, like the day and age of the data you're able to gather, they have these pitching machines now where you can literally sync up an MLB pitcher to how his windup, all of his pitches. Seawald's a guy that's throwing 93, 94 miles an hour, supposed to be crafty. They could time him up. You get a guy that's coming up there and he's pumping 100 at your teeth. He's got a couple other pitchers to work with.
If you're going
to
miss high or low, you might as well miss 101. If you're missing high or low, middle in, 92, 93, like Seawall was, that's how he blew all those saves. As he was missing, and that thing was getting clobbered at mid-90s, you get J-Mart, also throws gas, Jameson, gas. Honestly, Ginkle throws a little bit of gas. You have some guys who can throw some heat there at the back end of the bullpen, which is, yeah, like you said, that's what you need.
Another guy that I could see potentially competing for that closer role, Ginkle. I don't think I've ever had a bad experience where he comes in out of the pen and I'm like, oh no.
The worst experiences we've had watching him come out of the pen is when he comes in the ninth inning. Seems like every other time they put him in, 7-8, he's lights out.
Well, I think in a perfect world,
put him in
your
closer role. Last season, I think Seawall was out for a little bit with injury. They experimented with Ginkle in that closer role. For whatever
it's
reason, that ninth inning
it's
is
high pressure.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. Perfect world. He's your 7-8 man. He comes in. You know, takes over in the seventh, gets you out of the seventh, gets you through the eighth, into whoever's our closer.
I mean, if we're talking about it now, we might as well get into the discussion. That's one of the battles that's been happening at spring training this season is the closer battle. Who's going to be the closer of the D-backs next season? And I think those are all the guys that are in the running for it. I think the presumptive default for the closer at this point it's got to be Justin Martinez. The guy's got the stuff.
I really enjoyed when he was in.
And he throws hard. So I think he's probably the presumptive closer. And as we talked about, you got Kevin Ginkle and Dre James as kind of the outside. But one person we have not talked about yet, who is arguably the best numbers from last season and probably their best high leverage arm, is AJ Puck. That guy throws near 100. He's a giant 6'7" left-handed man who has got a weird delivery. And I think up till the second to last game of the season, and it ended up costing them, I think he did not give up an earned run all season after the D-backs acquired him until, obviously, he gave up those home runs against the Padres at the end of the season.
Yeah, but
that guy is also, I think, got closer potential.
No, that's a good point. I honestly did not even think of him. I don't know what it is. It's something weird to me about, like, a lefty closer. Like, you're not a Rollins Chapman throwing 103 up there.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just because, like, in my mind, like, you think of a closer, it's obviously Mariano Rivera.
Well,
the Sandman.
I think they're resistant to name, and obviously Torrey kind of did the dance last season about who are we naming as a closer. I don't want to name a closer, but I do think that they don't want to name AJ Puck as the quote-unquote closer unless they have to, because they really like using him in those lefty-on-lefty matchups, high leverage, late in the game.
That's why I don't think you can have him as a closer. I mean, you got to think, most lineups have right-handed batters, right? So you bring him in the ninth when you're trying to close out the game, and now you got the lefty-on-righty matchup most of the time. That's not ideal. And also the thing you were saying about, like, the rotation of closers, I feel like from, like, a mental standpoint for them, like, you got to know, like, you get it with a lead in the ninth inning, big boy's coming in. It can't be like, oh, who's going tonight? You got to be ready to go.
Are we talking Puck?
We're talking Puck. Puck me.
You guys ready for some stats here?
Hit it.
All right. AJ Puck, acquired from the Marlins at the trade deadline last season. Cumulative ERA last season, 3.15. Doesn't look great, right? 3.15 is a lot.
I believe the Marlins had him as a starter to start out the season.
Yes.
Moved him to the pen.
Failed experiment. Marlins tried to stretch him back out as a starter. 17 runs in 13 and two-thirds of innings. But he moved back to the bullpen from that point forward. Arguably, best reliever in baseball. Fanning a colossal 35% of his opponents.
That's
5.1% walk rate. Opponents average only 86.6 miles per hour off the bat against him.
35% fans is sick. Swing and a miss.
That's what I'm saying. He was absolutely nailed until they needed him to be lights out in one inning against the Padres in that last series of the season. He gave up bomb. But, hey, the rest of the season after he came over, the guy was nails. Failed experiment as a starter. Turned to lights out, reliever, I should say.
And luckily, we don't need him to be a starter, baby.
And
we might have the best rotation in baseball.
And
I've been saying this for how long? We're going to have to boot guys to the pen that historically have been, maybe I'm in that 4 or 5 slot. Nope. I'm honestly, after watching Fott's spring training outing today, I'm concerned he might get kicked to the pen.
So we might as well get into that now. And I know we alluded to this earlier here as far as starting rotation questions. I think I've essentially established earlier what we think the presumptive top three in the rotation are going to be without a question, right? We're going to have probably Burns, Gallen, Kelly to start off as that 1-2-3. The question marks kind of exist in that 4 and 5. And I know Mike Hazen has said,
I think that's a beautiful
spot. 6-man rotation.
I know, but I think we want to run with the five man. We have E-Rod locked up in that four spot. He is not.
E-Rod's making 20 mil for the next 3 years. Oh, they're going to want to put him in there.
Okay, listen, if he's pitching as a second starter, and second in the rotation starter, and we got him in the fourth, I mean, I'm like, again, getting a little ahead of ourselves, but you go down in the playoffs, we got five, six guys that could realistically win you a game. And that's my thing with Fott. He's young. 2 years ago, he's playing D2 ball, or 3 years ago,
he's
playing
World Series. D2 he's ball. A number three starter in the World Series run.
Exactly. And you know what he proved that season? He's
Dog.
A big game player.
Dog.
Even last year, like, struggled a little bit during the regular season, but towards the end there, when he needed to win some games, he went out there and he shoved.
So the question is, if you have the presumptive, and if you're saying probably for money-wise, you're going to have to put E-Rod in that number four slot, your number five starter comes down to Brandon Fott or Ryan Nelson. Ryan Nelson's numbers last year, he's got the second best WAR out of any pitcher on the team last year, aside from Zach Gallen. And he's got that stuff. That guy hits almost 100 on the gun.
I know. I'm very curious to see how they use him. I think what will be super beneficial in the beginning of the season, when you're only seeing pitchers going 5-6 innings, is you bring him in. He can go the distance. Like, he's used to being a starting pitcher. He can go long, and especially in the playoffs, you get towards the end there, a guy just doesn't have his stuff. You can bring Nelly in the third inning, and he can go until 8.
I mean, I think in the playoffs, that's ultimately going to be what would happen if the D-backs do make the playoffs. But
I'm worried about
one person we haven't talked about yet. Also, that's an outside force to hit that number 5 or even number that 4 starter role.
Don't say it.
Jordan Montgomery.
Don't say it. God, I knew you were going to say it.
The guy was very frustrating to watch last year. Missed spring training. Showed up a little bit out of shape. Very out of shape. And had a terrible... had a terrible statistical season, all things considered. Shows up this year, 15, 20 pounds down, underweight. Looking good. Has not made a spring training start yet, but Jordan Montgomery, he's got the pedigree, he's got the resume to be, he's more qualified than Fott or Nelson to act in that fourth or fifth role. He won the World Series the year before against the D-backs.
I'm just concerned because all you're hearing about Montgomery is, oh, he's in so much better shape. He's in so much better shape. I haven't heard any report that he looks any better. I haven't seen anything that his play is great, that he's throwing the ball well. It's just that he's in shape. Great. Prince Fielder was the fattest guy in the league. David Ortiz, fattest guy in the league. Hit bombs, did their job.
Taking in shape Jordan Montgomery over an out of shape Jordan Montgomery.
You're absolutely right. Listen, the guy could have taken his career somewhere else. He signed the big ticket option.
25.
After they said.
25 mil.
I do not want you.
After.
We do not want you.
Ken Kendrick, owner.
Dude,
Ken Kendrick.
I mean, dude, talk
goes
about.
Goes on the radio and says, biggest mistake I've made.
You're talking.
Mistake
you're talking competing for.
Calls him out by name.
You're talking about competing for the five spot. We might not see him in a Snakes jersey. He might be down in Reno. Starting games down in Reno.
Their preference would be to trade.
Thank you.
Thank you. Their preference would be to trade him, I think, if possible. They would trade him. But I think his value is not quite there yet. And
no,
they haven't been offered the return that would justify trading him. So, hey, at this point,
you're
paying 25 mil.
Who wants that guy?
The guy's won a World Series. Keep him in the rotation. And worst case, he's your long reliever.
I just like it. I like having Nelly and Montgomery there because you look at what happened last season. We had realistically two, maybe three real starters in the rotation, and those four or five slots were like automatic losses all season. Like, those are a lot of games that we were losing 9-7, 10-8.
Hopefully not many Tommy Henry starts this season.
No. But I like where we're at right now because you look at our starting nine. We got too many guys. We literally got too many guys.
So injuries are going to happen. You got to expect it. You don't want them, but you got to expect. You got to plan for them.
Gonna need more than five.
I genuinely feel like we're in a spot where, like, someone goes down, like fielder wise, it's next man up. Next like man outfielders, up. We got Lourdes, Corbin, obviously.
Corbin.
We got AT. We got Jake McCarthy. We got Randall Grichuk.
We were talking about this earlier. Outfield. You know, you have basically five outfielders. If you include Randall Grichuk as someone who can play the outfield, and he can. He's good in the outfield last year, and I think, yeah, you have obviously Corbin Carroll, Lourdes, kind of a lock. But then that other kind of outfielder spot between Jake McCarthy and Alec Thomas and Randall Grichuk, I think you could see a lot of play.
I'll tell you what, this spring, you can almost sense that third outfielder spot. You see, like, all the outfielders started off cold first 2 weeks of spring training. I think, like, obviously Corbin's been a different story. He's been swinging the bat in season form all spring. But there's a point where Grichuk, McCarthy, and AT were all batting, like, slightly above 200, a little below. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, this could not be worse. What happens? Competition picks up. I think Grichuk's up to, like, 260. McCarthy's batting 300 after going 3-for-3 today. AT swinging the bat. You saw him let out a triple today. The interesting spot is, Lord S is almost just not going to lose his spot because he's the only right-handed bat out of there.
Grichuk, as a platoon DH last season, as never batting when Jock Peterson's in the lineup, who also had an amazing season, and unfortunately they couldn't keep him around.
Gonna miss his
Grichuk
swag,
as a
man.
Platoon DH last season, finished with a 2.2 WAR, which is actually incredible compared
to a guy that's not playing every day.
It's a respectable WAR for him, honestly. And honestly, I mean, to
listen,
be honest,
we've mentioned it. There's not a lot of right-handed bats in this lineup this year. You got Grichuk. You got Lourdes. You got Gabby.
Bomb today.
Dude,
Bomb. 450 plus.
Shout out. What is today? Wednesday, March 5th. Gabby Moreno. First inning. Left center. Almost killed a 6-year-old out there. They thought they were safe sitting by the sidewalk. Now when Gabby's putting one out there, 450, 112 exit velocity off the bat.
Over the top of the grass.
Goodness.
Over top of the sun tanners in the grass. 450 bomb.
You almost took out.
You know that's gone. Put on your sunscreen. That ball's coming over your fucking dome.
When you're at the rich person table out there in the Banner House, the tables, they got the umbrellas, there's not a chance in your mind you're thinking you're flirting with getting hit by a ball. Better watch out for number 14. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, what was it? 456, 110 exit velo? Oh.
110 miles an hour, folks.
Told all the fans.
Drive that
crazy.
Fast in your car, roll down the window. That's how fast Gabby's ball was leaving the ballpark. Yeah. You know, I didn't realize that he's only like 23, 24 as
he's
well.
Young.
This
young.
Team is so dang. Can you imagine with this core that we have signed
the
for
team
like the next
wasn't
four
supposed
years?
To be as good as they are when they are.
That's what I'm saying. We win a World Series this year, we might win three more the next 5 years.
Let's pump the brakes here, bud.
No, I don't think it's that outrageous to say. I really don't think it's
that
outrageous.
Last season, after not making the playoffs, let's see what happens.
Dude, it's the adversity we needed. It's the adversity we needed.
It's a hungry team. Now, as far as offseason replacements, talked a little bit about Jock Peterson.
Let's bring up the big one.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
It's a bummer that we can't.
Yep.
It's a bummer we can't bring Jock back after a great year. But honestly, Texas, I think, overpaid for him. If you're willing to pay that much money for someone who doesn't play in the field at all,
hey,
I don't think
it's a bit of a
slap
in the
to.
Face, too. Like, hey, we just beat you in 23 in the big dance. Give me big cock Jock, too.
And you can have Jordan Montgomery. We'll take Jock. You guys can have Jordan. But hey, I think Jock, great player. He deserves to get paid like he did.
Yeah, dude,
I
listen,
think the D-backs are too shrewd
on,
with their
he's
payment.
He's on the back nine of
they're
his
not
career,
doing that.
And I'll tell you what, he's still hitting bombs.
They're not paying that for someone who doesn't play D.
Don't need
now, the replacement, we'll get into that. Another major loss, Christian Walker.
I mean, the biggest loss.
Probably
loss.
The biggest loss.
You're talking to
Christian
gold
Walker,
glove first
gold
baseman.
Glover, first baseman.
Two-time.
Excellent, excellent player. Honestly, one of the faces of the franchise and finished with a 2.6 WAR, which is one of the highest on the team from last
the
season.
The biggest
too.
Thing, though, is like, I was watching those 2023 playoff run highlights back. It's like a 25-minute video. I can't tell you how many of the defensive plays were Seawalk laying out for a liner, making an incredible pick. Like, I know there's an Evan Longoria, like, late game, easy ground ball, just underthrows it, absolutely handcuffs Seawalk. Pick me, Jesus. No questions asked at all.
You're definitely not getting that replacement value from Josh Naylor at first, but
yeah, you know what?
Mike Hazen goes out and gets Josh Naylor, last year of his deal. He's young. if re-signed, has the ability to regrow with this team, grow with this team. And hey, the guy mashes offensively. I think he could potentially come close to what Christian Walker was replacing offensively.
Offensively, I totally
defensively,
agree.
I different think, story, anything, but hey.
Naylor might be a bit of an upgrade offensively. I think the biggest, you know what I love the most? If we could see Pavin Smith take that next step at 1B.
I mean, that's really the kind of the replacement for Jock there at that other DH.
If you look at him defensively, he's not a first baseman, right? So he's, you know, I hate to say it, there's not a lot of guys that grow up being true first basemen. You start kind of playing it because you can rake and you need to find yourself in the lineup. So Pavin can sneak in there as the defensive 1B, and then you move Naylor to that DH spot. I love that. It's, he's going to mash. He's already mashing this spring. Rooney, I know you don't like him, but he's batting 400. There's simply no way around it. He's batting 400. And he's got the most at-bats in the spring on the team. Sorry. You know, you see his interview the other day, too? I really liked it. He didn't really let his personality fly. It was like a little bit of a corporate PR answer. Oh. But he was also like, hey, I'm fired up to be here. Even if he was lying, I believed it.
Okay, Trey Mancini missed last season with illness.
Yes.
Obviously would be a great candidate for a comeback player here.
Of course.
Josh Naylor last season. The guy hit 31 bombs and almost bat 250. He bat 243 with 31 bombs. And at 1.54. Basically, every game, Torrey Lovello submits his lineup card. He's putting Christian Walker as fourth. He doesn't have to think about it. Now this season, maybe you change it around. Maybe you got Eugenio in there at fourth. Maybe you throw your DH at fourth. You have Cattell bat fourth sometimes. But hey, I think Josh Naylor is probably your number four hole. I think number one, you go Corbin. Number two, you go Cattell. And I think you might switch it up one and two based on lefty-righty pitcher, but you're going Corbin, Cattell, one and two. Other thing that's non-negotiable, you're going Jerry P, number nine. Jerry P in the nine hole. He's your second leadoff hitter. He's fresh off his extension. Guy knows how to extend the lineup,
100%.
Turn the lineup over to the next people. And what
brings,
a great
just
eye.
Energy, speed.
What a great eye on the strike zone. And also the guy is okay with a single or taking a walk and turning the lineup over. Jerry P, it's your guaranteed nine-hole hitter. And I guess you got number three through turn number eight, or we can debate those here. But I think one, two, and nine are pretty much locked in.
One,
two,
nine.
I think four, you have options for either Eugenio or you got Cattell, maybe, if you drop him down, or you have Naylor. I think those are your kind of number four, number three options. Lourdes, obviously, bats high in the lineup, too. And depending on how Gabby's looking, he's probably batting seven or eight.
Yep.
And then you got, Alec Thomas or Jake McCarthy probably mixed in there as well. If Grichuk is in the lineup, I put him four. But I think it depends on lefty-righty matchups. We know Torrey loves those lefty-righty matchups.
Yes, so I agree. I think Carroll, Cattell, guaranteed 1-2 for sure. Perdomo, leadoff, and off the nine-hole hitter. I mean, I think it's a new wave of baseball. It's just have a nine-hole hitter that can just get on base,
no,
bring energy,
dude,
whatever
that's,
it is.
That's classic baseball. Your nine-hole hitter, second leadoff, man. He's going to see some pitches. He's going to take some pitches. And he's going to be able to hit. Like, Tommy and I were talking about the game today. The fact that even in spring training, you got Jerry P batting in the nine hole. It just says all you need to know about the guy. Like, D-Bags posted something the other day about how he's the funniest guy in the locker room.
Looking on anything
he's just
him.
Happy to bat in the nine hole. It's exactly what you need. And my biggest takeaway from this batting order talk is it's feeling a lot like the Dodgers. Where you go through one through nine, and you're trying to pick that easy out, and there's just nobody. I mean, if you're talking Lourdes in the six hole, McCarthy or Grichuk in the seven hole, that is a fantastic spot to be. Those are guys that are going to rake. I mean, McCarthy batted, he was batting like 300 up until like the last 15 games. I think he finished at like 285, 290. If he's hitting seventh, you got Gabby eighth, Jerry P ninth. That's a Dodgers-esque lineup where you're like, where do we get the out? Where do we get the out?
Haven't talked Mancini. Haven't talked Pavin Smith. The guy can hit pretty well.
Jesse brought it up. I think Trey Mancini could be like the dark horse at first base that we need. Veteran presence, guys like 32, 33, been in the league for 10 years. Come on.
He was supposed to be everything.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be everything. Hey,
he was a dog there for his, what you consider probably his prime. He was a hell of a player.
Whose form did he come up with? Do you guys know? Was it Orioles?
I think it was Orioles, and he was on the Rockies maybe for a bit.
I think it was Orioles.
Yeah. Orioles farm has been...
Listen,
I mean, if we're talking dark
horses.
They
know how to draft, man. Orioles know how to draft.
If we're talking dark horses for the D-backs lineup, or maybe not even dark horses, a couple of guys who are looking to make the lineup here this season that we haven't discussed yet, who could factor in offensively as well as defensively. We got Jordan Lawler, rookie, has been a top MLB prospect for seasons.
Oh, he missed most of last season.
Missed most of last season with injury. Got a little bit of cup of coffee when the D-backs made the playoffs in 2023. Didn't get a ton of action, but hey, that guy is an option to be potentially your super utility guy. Could play that third base, second base, shortstop role. And then you have Ildemar Vargas. See, I think this is his third stint with the D-backs. He's also kind of that super utility guy. Has a little bit of sneaky power. Can play that third, second, or short.
We need right-handed bats in the lineup.
So those guys, I think, are outside slash inside chances to make the lineup, especially with the injury to Blaze Alexander, which they reported is weeks, not days. So looks like Blaze Alexander is not going to be cracking that opening day lineup, which, yeah, opens the door for some of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Blaze is he doesn't seem like he's as close as Lawler is. Lawler's got all the tools in the world. But he's probably more of a true shortstop. We were talking about it at the spring training game today. I just don't know if he fits into that third base slot. Second base is a tough position to play.
You got that extension for Jerry P, though, so you know he's going to be around for a while.
Well, that's why the Lawler situation is confusing to me.
Because you got Patel to a DH. The guy's barely hanging on, hobbling around the bases.
I don't know if it's just spring training, but Patel's not moving great, man.
He's never moved great.
He ain't old enough.
He's never moved great.
Slow. I think he's just the guy that's like, yeah, I'm going to poke this up the middle.
You got Jerry P. and Lawler can play that middle infield, no problem. That's all right.
Tom, I'm telling you, the switch from short to second is not that smooth. It's a completely different angle on the ball. I think the path is very clear this year.
Finishing things off with the NL West prediction, and then
we slide in via wild card. I hate to say it. I think out of any team in the NL West, we're going to give the Dodgers the most trouble. But when you look at the playoff run, we're probably going to slide into that.
Projected to win the division.
They might win 90-95 games this year.
And still not win the division.
Second in the division.
Which is crazy to see. But, hey, I think with the new expanded playoff format, I think that opens the door for the D-backs. Producer Jesse just pulled up here. We got the D-backs as +550.
This is ridiculous.
+550 to win the NL and their season over-under win total at 86.5.
That is disrespectful.
I think I'm pulling out the retirement and hammering that 80 over 86.5. That's less games than they won last season.
That might be legitimately my favorite bet.
And I think we can all agree here, barring injury,
like the Tory,
this is a better
fun,
team.
The World Series bet is fun.
This is a better team than last season's team. And
without
they're
doubt.
And this is projecting them to have
it's
less.
Pretty
wins.
Much the same team with another year of experience for a young team at two.
You got a couple of MVP odds here. We got Corbin Carroll +2,200, and then you got Ketel Marte +2,500. I mean, that's good value there as well.
That's a great value. I could see Corbin having a monster year. This is what, his third year in the league?
He's primed for a rebound after that sophomore slump last season, too.
I mean, call it a sophomore slump, but after the All-Star break, he was the hottest hitter on the team.
Still somehow finished with a 250 batting average.
Well, I mean, listen, when you're starting at 190, you get back 300 for a long time.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
That's what you just described is what happened.
If they don't make the playoffs, I'm going to be in a severe depression.
That's how I felt this last season.
Depression. I mean, obviously it makes it worse going on such a long run the year before. But last season, like the way it ended, being used to going into damn near November having games, it's felt like it's been 3 years.
That playoff energy at Chase Field hits Diffy.
Oh, it hits so
it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest or second biggest stadium in Major League Baseball, which obviously gets it a lot of shit during the regular season when it doesn't look full. There's a lot of empty seats.
In
the playoffs, when you got 50,000 people packed in at Chase Field, that place is rocking.
When you're sitting in the lower bowl and your feet are vibrating when Let's Go D-backs is being chanted, it's just different.
I'll take the big ballpark for those playoff moments.
You know what I love about Arizona sports fans, too? Like you said, they don't necessarily show out for the regular season games. I don't know where these D-backs fans are hiding when playoff time comes.
It's a fair market.
But all you
fair
see
weather
is
sports town.
All you see is jerseys, and they bring the passion. It's not like you see like the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, yeah, seats are always full, but no one gives a shit about what's being played. It's one of those things where if you're in Chase Field, you're chanting, you're waving your towel, you're going crazy.
Phoenix sports fans will show out. KD in the recent Suns post game was talking about how the Suns fans in Phoenix are great. And I even remember when the Coyotes made the playoffs back when the Coyotes still existed and were a team here. Those playoff games were electric, those whiteouts. So, like, yeah, Phoenix is definitely a fair weather sports market. But when the team is good and when the team makes the playoffs, the fans show up and it's well worth your time.
I feel like Arizona runs into this with the Cardinals. I believe this with every city. If the infrastructure of your major city in the United States cannot support all of your major sports franchises, I'm not sure you should even have a team. Like, you look at like a city like Detroit, not a big city. Their three stadiums are literally like all on the same corner. Like, that's what you should have. Like, that's what, obviously, we are missing with the Coyotes.
But it should be.
I hate that the Cardinals are in Glendale. Like, I get they're trying
to... The NFL is different. The NFL, you play eight home games.
People are going to
try. You play eight home games a year. You can put the Cardinals in... Sunday. You can put the Cardinals in Flagstaff. They would sell out all eight of their games. It doesn't matter.
Okay, but if the Cardinals play downtown, right? How many more people... I feel like there's enough football heads that they're like, I'm going to live in the West Valley so I can be closer to State Farm. Go to all the football games. If that stadium's downtown, it's a lot easier for those
people sell out either way
that are parlaying into D-backs games.
I think it matters way more for the teams that have 82 or 162 games compared to 16.
Oh, no, I totally. I'm just talking in terms of like city infrastructure, getting fans that wouldn't normally go to D-backs games.
I mean, that's huge for the D-backs, and they've been talking about renegotiating the deal with City of Phoenix and Maricopa County to make some renovations to that stadium and
new roof.
They need to. And hey, one thing that they've
just
confirmed. The fact that they can open that roof this season.
Have you seen the details though?
It's not that
they're fixing the roof.
I know.
They're just basically making a catcher like, hey,
I don't care.
And the steel beam pops off. It's not gonna hit
if you can open it. I don't care.
Dude, do you remember
those Friday, Saturday nights? They popped the top of that place.
Oh my god.
Oh, and it sucks. It's so fucking hot here that you can't really. You can only open the roof at the very beginning or the very end of the season.
Okay, but we talked about this.
I'm here for it.
What is the temperature where it's like the roof should be open?
Because my thing is 102.
You got a 705 first.
I'm saying 102 or
90.
Open it.
It's going to be 80.
When is game time?
Exactly. Dude, 640. Not even yet.
75, 80, 100 degrees.
The first pitch is at 7 o'clock.
Degrees at 6.
I'm saying if it's 99 or less, open it, regardless of time.
Listen, if you have
100, open that thing. I love the open roof at that place, and I'm an Arizona man.
No, but like, obviously,
I'll
like,
handle
right,
it.
We're guys that, like, you don't mind the heat. I'm talking is standard. Thinking about the general Phoenix public,
people are so soft, though.
You know what bothers me when it's 85 degrees, the best weather you could get, and it's not open? How is that too hot?
That was just because last year, because they can't open it during, they couldn't open it after gates open and after the fans were in there because of the safety issues. So they had to make that decision earlier
in
the day.
I'm curious what the time cutoff is now.
Oh, now there's none. That's the best part.
So you're telling me.
They can open it during
first pitch.
They can open it during the game. which is what they used to do.
Can you imagine? Oh, did they really?
Yes.
Oh, dude.
It was sick. You missed out.
It was sick. No, I'm thinking from the player's perspective. A mid-game roof opening is
sick.
Outrageous.
It's amazing.
The temperature changes. The wind changes. The batter eye changes.
For the better.
You're bringing in shadows.
All for the better. All for the better. The balls fly in that desert thin air. Balls fly. You need a late inning rally? Let's let those things fly. Pop the top. Let's go.
True.
Pop it off.
It's like, hey, we need a couple runs here. Like, let's get that thin Arizona air in here. Get the ball flying. You know what? Hey, that's why they do the high school home derby at Chase Field. The ball flies.
And I bet they open the fucking roof for that thing.
I'll tell you what. You watch that as like a high school baseball player, that's how you know you're not going anywhere. You got a 17-year-old hitting a 480-foot home run.
We're here bringing you the action firsthand. From what we see, a couple of baseball guys, a couple of fans.
I think, you know, maybe we do a couple of live in-game podcasts.
Oh, absolutely.
Unfortunately, you know, like you get there on a – go to like a Tuesday Snakes game.
Next Thursday.
You can find yourself an empty enough section. Oh, true, true.
Maybe
we will be live. Peoria Stadium, Peoria, Arizona. Diamondbacks at the Seattle Mariners.
In stadium meetup. Come find us, Snakes Fever. We're working on that merch.
Free merch. Should we just start illegally going around spring training games and doing the t-shirt toss? I'll tell you what. You've seen the security at these places. I don't think they'd say anything.
No.
Like when you bought the $50 spring training, I sat in 15 different seats today.
Doesn't
there wasn't
matter.
A single usher at any of them. I was 10 rows behind home plate at one point today. Well, let's wrap this up. I think we should finish this off with your best take going into the regular season. Doesn't need to be a hot take. But I don't want to hear, oh, like, the D-backs win 80 games. Like, what's, like, not a hot take, but maybe you get some heat for it.
My take is D-backs make the playoffs this season, and Josh Naylor is a good replacement for Christian Walker and Dre Jameson. Maybe it looks nice out of the bullpen. Those are my predictions.
Yeah, I got, going to keep it simple. Snakes win 91 games
Shit.
And win the World Series out of
Shit.
The wild cards, out of
Shit.
The first wild card spot. You heard it here first. And I'll be riding that all
that
season.
Would be wild.
I'll
that'd
be riding it all season.
That would be wild. But that would cash my bet, so I'm cool with it. Mine, I'll say. I'll say Diamondbacks win the season series against the Dodgers. They
like,
don't win
overall,
the division. They win the season series. They won the regular season series against the Dodgers last year.
They got their number, man.
I think they do it again. I think that lineup and that roster is illegal in many precincts.
Do the Dodgers win 100 games?
They will.
Dodgers will win 100. If they don't, then that's a – that I mean, whatever. Let them do
that.
The
Dodgers winning like 130.
They should. The expectation. I didn't look at what their win total was for the year. If you wanted to make a bet on that,
it's probably 110. It's like minus 200.
I think we see out of the starting rotation. I think we see three starting pitchers with 15 plus wins.
Ooh, I like that take a lot.
I think we see three pitchers with 15 plus wins.
We're gonna win a lot of ball games.
We're gonna win a lot of games. Well, a lot of ball games, and I think a thing I'm carrying over from last year, which was my lock of a parlay last year, was that if you're betting first five, you can bet whatever the opposing team is. First five, they're going to be money line, whatever, short. Six through nine, though, baby?
When the bats come alive.
That's when the snakes start hissing.
When the bats come alive.
And after they come alive, you'll Ooh. Find that. Any day of the week, I play. I don't know,
that's
plus 300, 400.
I like that a lot.
I don't know. It makes the game exciting. You want your whatever, but we'll save that for another day. We'll follow up.
You got
91 games
and the World Series.
I've been telling people, and I think they think I'm kidding. I genuinely, full-heartedly believe we're gonna win the World Series this year.
Like it's gonna be a long run.
This isn't like a fandom bias. Like I'm pretty good with that, not being biased. It's just you look at historically the Snakes versus the versus the Dodgers. We I'm not gonna say we have their number, but we give them more headaches than any other team.
I mean, we get won the regular season series last season, sweep job in the playoffs season before that. Dodgers are a little scared. And that's okay. They should be. But also, the D-backs should also be scared. They're on paper. That's an upset every time.
Let's say we win the wild card, and then we beat the Dodgers and the NLDS again, I might put everything I have to my name on the D-backs. This is after my future already that they're going to win.
So are we hammering D-back over wins future after this? All you listeners out there, loyal
I already told.
Local and loyal listeners.
86.5 over.
Let's hammer that over. Let's ride with the boys. The Snakes Fever boys.
I would love to get an alt line. 89.5 wins over. Probably maybe like a +450, +500, John. That'd be nice.
Do we have a send-off at all?
Yeah, I think we'll just see him when we see him, I guess.
See you when you see us.
Smell ya.
Catch you next time.